Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1, verse 4. Here at the beginning of the Gospel of John, the Apostle is describing for us a person who is named the Word, capital W. And as chapter 1 goes on, it becomes clear that the Word is none other than Jesus. In verses 1 through 3, the Apostle described the Word as being eternal, as being God, and as being the one who created everything. Now in verse 4, we read, "In him, in the Word, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." There are three words that drive that passage: life, light, and darkness. Let me talk about each one of them. Life, that's the most valuable thing that you have. Our phones, our computers, where it seems we spend so much time attached to those devices, those are not the most valuable things that we have. It's not our car, it's not our house, it's not our bank account. It's not our stuff. The most valuable possession that we have is life. Because if we didn't have life, we wouldn't exist. But human life, as valuable as it is, if we're honest, we have to acknowledge that it's fleeting. It's here today and gone tomorrow. The psalmist says it so poignantly in Psalm 103, where he describes human life like a flower of the field, beautiful and brilliant for a time, for a short time. And then the wind blows and poof, it's gone. That's just the reality of human life. It's short. That's not what John is describing in verse 4 when he says, "In the Word was life, in him was life." He's not talking about human life. He's talking about a life that transcends the created order, that is outside of the created realm. John is talking about life everlasting. That is in the Word, that the Word possesses it. Jesus possesses life everlasting. You see, every time that John uses the word life in the Gospel of John, he is referring to eternal life. And I need to be clear about something. Eternal life is not about quantity of life. We're all going to live forever. The saved and the unsaved, the believer and the unbeliever, everyone's going to live forever. Eternal life is about quality of life. The scripture is clear that everyone will be resurrected. Daniel 12:2 describes for the believer resurrection unto everlasting life, and then for the unbeliever resurrection unto everlasting contempt. Jesus in the book of John describes the resurrection of life for the believer, for the saved, the one who has trusted in him. And then for the one who has rejected him, he describes the resurrection of judgment. Everyone's going to live forever. That's not what eternal life is. The question is, where are we going to live forever? Or maybe the better way to say it is, who are we going to live forever with? The one who has accepted Christ. Christ is the one who gives eternal life, who has eternal life. In him was life. The one who has trusted and accepted Christ receives eternal life, which means that one will live forever with the author of life, in the author of life's eternal kingdom. That's quality of life, with all the blessings and all the benefits that come along with being permanently identified with the author of life. And make no mistake, the author of life is not Charles Darwin. It's Almighty God. God is the author of physical life, of soul life, of animal life, of plant life, of angelic life. Any life that exists, God has authored it. And God isn't just the creator of life, he's also the sustainer of life. The writer of Hebrews says this in Hebrews 1:3. "And he is the radiance of his glory The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature, of God's nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. You see, it's not an accident that God the Son, Jesus, is described as the Word. That's one of his names, the Word. It's not an accident that that's his name, because with a word he created back in Genesis 1, let there be light, and there it was. He just spoke it into existence. With a word he sustains creation, with the word of his power, Hebrews 1:3. God is the creator of life, is the sustainer of life, and actually is life. The most common name for God in the Hebrew scriptures is the name Yahweh, which literally means the one who is, he who is. God is also described as the living God. And one of the names of God back from Exodus 3 is the I Am. You see, these names speak of the beingness of God, the foreverness of God, the eternality of God, the life of God. He is life. It's not that he gives life. He does do that. And he sustains life. It's just his very nature is life. That's why he's able to create life and sustain life by a word. You see, what the apostle is doing here is he is attributing to Jesus the divine attribute of eternality in verses 1 and 2, the divine activity of creation in verse 3, and now in verse 4, the divine attribute of life. As the book unfolds, Jesus, in his own words, will claim the divine attribute of life. Remember when Jesus stood at the grave of his friend Lazarus, who had been dead for a number of days, and Lazarus' sister Martha is weeping and saying to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus says to her in John 11:25, these words that have echoed down the corridors of time for 2,000 years. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And then Jesus, to prove his point, to prove his claim to deity, to prove his claim that he has the divine attribute of life, he raises a dead man from the grave. He says, come forth, Lazarus. With a word, he makes the dead man live. Jesus claims the divine attribute of life. Eternal life, as I say, is not about quantity of life. It's about quality of life. Because the one who is in Jesus, the one who has trusted in Jesus, is identified with the God-man. And therefore, he is united forever with God. And will forever share in God's largesse, in his abundance, in his goodness, in his blessing, in his righteousness, in his holiness. Well, that's life. Let me shift gears to the word light that John uses when he says, and the life was the light of men. The scripture uses light many times to describe God. The psalmist in Psalm 104 says that the Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. Or in 1 Timothy 6, Paul said that God alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. And then our apostle, the apostle that we're learning from in the Gospel of John, the apostle John just says it plainly in 1 John 1:5. He says God is light. God doesn't just wrap himself in light and dwell in unapproachable light. His very essence is light. That is a divine attribute of God, light. And so now the apostle doesn't just attribute eternality and creation and life to the word, but he attributes light, the divine attribute of light, to the word. And so as the book unfolds, Jesus, just like he does with life, he claims the divine attribute of light for himself using an I am statement. John 8:12. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Notice how Jesus connects the two divine attributes of life and light together. And then as John 8 continues, the Pharisees understand Jesus' claim to deity, but they don't believe it. And so they want to kill him for blasphemy. The penalty under the Mosaic law for blasphemy was capital punishment. Don't let someone tell you that Jesus never claimed to be God. Of course he did. The Pharisees understood his claim to be God, and they didn't believe it. And that's why they wanted to kill him for blasphemy. If they had believed it, they would have submitted to him in worship and praise. Then we get to the final word of our passage that I want to focus on. It's darkness. Darkness, of course, is the opposite of light. John says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Notice John uses the present tense here. He says the light shines. The light shines now as you hear these words from my voice. The light shines as a beacon, always has, always will. Jesus shines, drawing us to him. And where does he shine? John says he shines in the darkness. You see, the light invaded the realm of darkness. The word invaded the world and brought life into the realm of death. Jesus said it so directly in John 3:19. The light has come into the world, Jesus says, speaking about himself. And men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. You see, the reason someone doesn't come to Jesus is because coming to Jesus exposes our sin. The reason people mock Jesus and make fun of him and minimize him is because if we consider the Jesus of the Bible, who is fully God, fully man, who is our only access to the Father, if we consider that Jesus, it exposes our sin. The gospel message is about sin and salvation. The reason why we understand we must be saved through Christ is because we appreciate the reality of the condemnation that we are under because of our sin. But the world rejects Jesus. The world wants their darkness instead of light because they don't want to expose their sin because they like their sin. That's why someone rejects Jesus. Plain and simple. The scripture uses darkness to describe evil. And Satan, make no mistake, is the author of darkness. The author of evil. He is described as the evil one. Jesus described him as a murderer from the beginning, as the father of lies in John 8. Satan is described as the one who blinds people in the darkness of his dominion, the ruler of the world forces of darkness. And Satan, who is brilliant in his wickedness, is described as the one who disguises himself as an angel of light. He disguises himself as light because Satan is the great deceiver. Then at the end of verse 5 of chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, the apostle says this, the darkness did not comprehend it, did not comprehend the light. Now that Greek word for comprehend can be translated comprehend or overcome. And so many Bibles will have a note that says you can translate it as overcome. What John is doing is he's communicating both ideas. He's saying that Jesus came unto his own, but his own received him not. He came unto an evil generation that refused to accept him. They did not comprehend the light. And so the devil and his followers would try and overcome the light. That's why they tried to kill him, but they couldn't. Death couldn't hold him. The grave could not keep him. Because light always, always, always destroys the darkness. It dominates the darkness. It displaces darkness. Evil is impotent against the light. Just try it out tonight. When it's dark outside, turn off all the lights in your house and then flick a light switch and see what happens to the darkness. It's destroyed by the light immediately. This is the one who John is teaching us about in the Gospel of John. The one who is life and light. The one who dominates the darkness. This is the one who we must trust in to give us access to God. Let's close in prayer, thanking God for this amazing truth. Father, we thank you for what you have done for us. We thank you that you sent your Son to die for us, to be the life and the light that give us access to you, to illuminate your truth to us, that we may believe in Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.